Here, the viola fills in the voices, makes the violins sound good by completing the harmonies underneath it, and yet it is treated as a necessary evil, something to fill in the gaps between the cellos and the violins. I am not going to, traffic in the ugly jokes that get thrown around about violas. Oh, maybe I will, after all, just to show you what's said about the poor violas. For example, how does one get two violas to play in tune? You shoot one. Or another one. What did the violist get on his SATs? Drool being the answer. Yeah, these go on and on and on. It's unfortunate. The violists are the stevedores of the orchestra, supplying everyone with harmonic backing and rarely, if ever, having a chance to shine themselves. The tenor instrument of the string family is the violoncello. That is its proper name, violoncello. The reason why you see an apostrophe before the word cello is that cello is an abbreviation of the word violoncello. And the bass of the violin family is the contrabass, or the bass violin. It is the last of the instruments to evolve. The de braccio instruments are no longer today played resting on the upper arm. They're played resting beneath the chin. And if you look at a modern violin or viola, you will see a chin rest has been added to them. You can always identify a violin or a violist by their badge of identity, that dark callus on their neck that they call a hickey. It's like a sergeant's stripes. It tells them who they are, and it tells us who they are. Now, one reason the violin family became so overwhelmingly superior to earlier string instrument types has to do with a series of violin builders living and working in the Italian city of Cremona, who brought these instruments to a level of perfection that's never been exceeded. No matter how much computer modeling has been employed, no matter what technology has been brought to bear on the subject of violin making, the instruments of Amati, Stradivari, and Guarnieri are still considered the standard by which all other string instruments are measured. Why are these instruments so good? Why have they endured? Well, these instruments were made out of old growth wood that lived pre-industrial revolution, so this wood never had to suck in the industrial pollutants that trees have to breathe today. The varnishes and glues these makers used are still unknown in terms of their exact formulas. We also have instruments that have patinated over time. We don't know what they originally sounded like. We only know what they sound like today, having grown and darkened and had time be an element of their mellowing. So how do we create these instruments? How do we recreate these instruments today? Who knows? The point is that the great violin makers of Cremona perfect the violin family during the Baroque. Nicola Amati lived from 1596 to 1684. Antonio Stradivari, his most important student, lived from 1640 to 1737. Might I point out, Amati lived 88 years and Stradivari lived 97 years. So much for the life-shortening effect of breathing varnishes and glues all day long. I wouldn't recommend that we start doing this, but these guys lived a long time considering the industrial circumstances in which they lived and worked. And Stradivari's most important student, Giuseppe Guarnieri, 1687 to 1742, a Florentine harpsichord builder who created the first working drawings for this instrument in 1709. He called it the Gravicembalo col pian e forte. Gravicembalo, meaning the big harpsichord, col pian e forte, with soft and loud, pianoforte. And that's the name of the instrument. It's a soft loud. The action of Cristofori's instrument uses hammers and releases and sustain and damper felts as opposed to picks, which are used in harpsichords. What we get with the piano is an instrument capable of dynamic sensitivity, graded dynamics, an instrument that can get louder and softer. It uses slightly thicker strings than a harpsichord and has more resonance and sustain than a harpsichord.